these things, roots in the ground, to keep me strong, wings on my back so I can fly on.
Today's service, as Greg said, is about call and response, about how we call out to each other and respond in harmony, how together we can help each other find our way forward through uncertain times, which these are certainly these days. I'd love to share a story with you all about call and response in music, a story called Woodpecker and the Forest Band. Now, Woodpecker loved looking through the forest to find little bugs to eat in the trees, pecking at the trees and finding those wiggly little treats. But even more than the tasty bugs, Woodpecker loved the sound of the trees. She loved how every tree in the forest made a different sound. She loved the resonance and the rhythm of them. Now one day, Woodpecker was looking for food in the trees and enjoying the sound of the different trees, when she heard a sound she had never heard before. Down coming from the grasses by the water, she heard a new sound. It was something like dum 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 dum. She looked carefully and she saw a frog, and she was so excited by that sound that she shouted out, Hey, what are you doing? Who is that? Well, my name is Frog, the frog said. I really love to sing to myself sometimes, and well, I heard you tapping and I couldn't help but sing along. I hope that's okay. Well, Woodpecker went back to her tapping, and Frog added in his sounds. Dum, dum, dum. Dum, 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 dum. Dum, dum, dum. And the more they played together, well, the more other animals in the forest began hearing what they were doing and wanted to join in. There were some crickets that started rubbing their wings together. And there were some squirrels that found some old rattly seed pods on the forest floor. And the birds started showing up one after another. You might know that birds, well, they love to sing in harmony. They started singing. All the animals would get together every week in a forest clearing. And they would all bring their different instruments and their different sounds and their different voices. and the animals noticed that the music sounded best when everybody played their part but listened to the others. They noticed it sound best when people played different instruments that sounded kind of different from each other. And they noticed that it sounded best when they left space for each other animal to be heard. But one day, the chimpanzee showed up with two sticks and an empty log. And it was so loud that all the musicians and all the animals stopped playing, and they just looked at chimpanzee. And chimpanzee looked back at all the other animals and said, "I love making music with you all. We sound so good together." But chimpanzee kept on playing so loud and playing so many notes that none of the other animals could even hear what they were doing. They could barely hear what they were thinking. And so, well, you might not be surprised to learn that rehearsal ended a little early that day, as the animals began to slither and crawl and trot away one by one, till eventually it was just Woodpecker and Chimpanzee left in the forest clearing, and Woodpecker knew that she needed to have a talk with Chimpanzee. She said, "I'm so glad that you're here to make music with us, and your log sounds so great. But music isn't just about playing loudly. It's about listening to the other animals around you. You can't make music if you don't listen to the sounds the other instruments are making. And music isn't just about playing as many notes as fast as possible. It's about leaving space so that you can hear the other sounds." And so together, they practiced playing some notes, and then leaving some space, and then playing some notes, and then leaving some space, and then playing some notes, and then leaving some space. And wouldn't you know it, that even Chimpanzee thought the band sounded better that way? Can we try together? Whether you're at home, you can try clapping, or you can find some old seed pods you can shake, or you can sing along with the birds, and you and the congregation can do the same. Let's see what we can do. And that's how Chimpanzee learned to add even better music to the forest band, and how Woodpecker and all the animals came together to create something more beautiful than any of them could have made alone. That's also a little bit of what our service is about. That as human beings, we have learned over the years to listen, to work together, to collaborate, to teach each other what we're learning, and to be in community together. And when we're at our best, we can do anything. And we can even imagine a more beautiful world, well, more beautiful than any one of us could make on our own. I'd like to invite you to join along for our next song, Building Bridges. This is a song that I used to sing as a youth many years ago in high school, and we would sing it for our worship gatherings at UU gatherings, and we would sing the song over and over and over. And I love that the song says, "Building bridges between our divisions, if I reach out to you, will you reach out to me?" We'll try it. I'll do it a couple times through, and you can hum along or sing along or just sit in silence and soak in the sound. And as we do it, we'll start to add some other parts. We can do it, and maybe we'll get up to even a four-part round. And what's nice about that is that means you can try singing in one of the other round parts, in part two or three or four, and if you get lost, that's okay, because you'll probably just end up singing with one of the other parts. Let's go and call and response together. Building bridges between our divisions, I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all of our visions, friends, we could make such sweet harmony. Building bridges between our divisions,
I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all of our visions, friends, we can make such sweet harmony. Building bridges between our divisions, I reach out to you, will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all of our visions, friends, we can make such sweet harmony.
In 1958, Jamila Jones attended a training for racial justice activists at the Highlander Center in Tennessee. She was a teenager at the time, and she was there with her sister and other youth to learn about community organizing to end segregation in the South. Now, Highlander Center was a center of the union movement in the 30s, and it was a center for civil rights organizing in the 50s and the 60s. It was an influential community for folks like Dr. King and Rosa Parks and Pete Seeger, all of whom were trained there. And I think it might have even been when the three of them were there together that the song "We Shall Overcome" entered the civil rights movement through Highlander Center. And because Highlander was such an incredibly effective place, an incredibly powerful community for fighting racism, the United States government harassed them constantly. In 1958, on the first day of this training where Jamila was there attending with her sister, police raided the community on the first evening of the training. And the first thing the police did when they arrived was to cut off all of the lights to the whole retreat center so that suddenly the young activists found themselves in complete darkness. Jamila remembers the terror and the loneliness of being plunged into this darkness with violent racist police screaming at her and the other teenagers. She was scared and she wanted nothing more in the whole world than to find her sister in the darkness. But All she could see were the silhouettes of the police clubs waving in the air. In the confusion, in the dark, one of the teenagers began to sing out. They began to sing a familiar melody, but with new words.
We are not afraid. We are not afraid. We are not afraid someday.
In this moment of terror, they had written a new verse to We Shall Overcome. The activists scattered across the retreat center began to join in singing. And by the singing, they located each other in the room. Jamila heard her sister's voice across the room, and she finally knew where she was. And then she could hear another friend's low bass voice nearby and knew that he was close. One of the policemen came over to Jamila. He was so afraid that she could see he was physically shaking. And he said to her, "If you have to sing, do you have to sing so loud?" Call and response singing was a staple of the civil rights movement. And so in this moment of police terror, someone knew to call out into that darkness in song. And the community knew to respond in harmony. They literally found each other in song. Even in the darkness, Jamila said later, our voices blended that night to the point of complete harmony and beauty. This, dear ones, is call and response. Calling out and the community responding. Leading and following, listening and learning together. Finding each other even when we are feeling lost and are struggling to find a way forward. And reminding each other that we are in this together. That we each bear the song, and we each need the choir. Just last week, I was at an interfaith vigil calling for peace in the Middle East. And while we occupied the federal building here in Boston, in this wonderfully resonant lobby, while some folks waited for a rest, I had learned a song just that day for this occasion, a song written by a group called the Peace Poets. And the song reminded me, as we sang together, the history of movement activists and organizers who have sung together when they were afraid, who have sung together to give each other courage, and who have sung together to remind each other about the legacy we have inherited of those who have worked for peace and for justice.
I do not come here alone. Carry my people in my bones. I do not come here alone. If you listen, you can hear them in my soul.
One of the deep mysteries of human history, of how we got to be who we are and how we are, is particularly why we Homo sapiens are still around on this earth, but our Neanderthal evolutionary cousins are not. It's been a mystery because the Neanderthals were probably bigger and stronger than us. Some scientists used to think that means we must have outsmarted them with our big brains, but recent research suggests that maybe they were just as smart as us too. Recent research suggests that the Neanderthals were probably as smart as chimpanzees and apes today, who also are just about as smart as Homo sapiens in almost every category of basic intelligence. In fact, there's just one category where the scholars tell us that our brains are really that different than the Neanderthals, different than the chimpanzees even, and that is the category of social learning. We're the very best at learning from each other. The scholars tell us that if you want a society to survive and thrive, it's much better to have a group where only one person in 1,000 is smart enough to invent a fishing pole, but everyone in the group is then capable of learning how to use it. That's much better than having a group where 1 in 10 people is smart enough to invent a fishing pole, but they keep that knowledge to themselves. This is called social learning. Learning how to use the new ideas, the new technologies that the smartest among us might come up with. Social learning, the researchers tell us, is our superpower as human beings. And I think to call this a superpower, well, as someone who's watched nearly every movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I think that's almost an understatement. It's through social learning that we've created the technologies that have given us X-ray vision that we have at the hospitals. It's social learning that gave us planes so that we can fly through the air with the greatest of ease. Social learning is our super duper power. But you all know this because if you're good at any game, Dungeons and Dragons or chess or pickleball, it's because you spent time with other humans learning the strategy and the rules. And particularly if you're great at music, well, it's not because you invented some smart new instrument. It's not because you came up with a new chord progression. They've pretty much all been invented already. It's because you spent time listening to other musicians and combining other people's ideas. This is call and response. Human beings are a species in conversation with each other. Call and response is leading and following. It is collaboration and coordination. And it's what we do best when we are at our best. And here's the thing. Social learning isn't just about science and technology and fishing poles. Spiritual growth is also something we learn in community. What is true of science is also true of spirituality, which is that we have something to learn from each other. Now, some folks describe themselves as spiritual but not religious, which in some cases means spiritual but without community. But it takes some real mental gymnastics to spend our whole lives learning from others in our profession or our careers, learning from others in our hobbies, learning from others in our art, and then turn around and tell ourselves that spiritual maturity is uniquely a solo climb. I learned this lesson in a deep way a few years ago when my dad passed. Being in spiritual community with others who had experienced loss before is where I learned how to hold that grief and how to move through it. It's where I learned how to make small rituals out of remembering, how to tell the stories of the pictures I had. And particularly, it was in religious community where I had learned to sing in moments like this. And so I knew to sing to my dad in his last days and to sing to myself, sitting by his bedside. My mom and I sat by his bed in hospice in his last 3 days, and we each sang this song over and over to him. Loosen, loosen, baby, you don't have to carry the weight of the world in your muscles and bones. Let go, let go, let go. Let go, let go, let go. That song, that ritual for my mom and I held the love we had for him. It was a way to say goodbye. It was a way to hold the grief and let it go somehow all at the same time. There aren't right or wrong ways to grieve, but when you are lost in the wilderness of loss, religious tradition and spiritual community can offer us some markers on the path to find a way forward. These rituals are the spiritual technologies that we teach each other in community. And song has always been one of our best, one of the ways we find each other when we are plunged into darkness of uncertainty or loss. The poem from our reading earlier said, someday the song will rise in our mouths and we will sing together in harmony. But the truth is, dear ones, that we have always been singing in harmony together. Music has always played a role in the kind of social learning that made us the cooperative creatures we evolved to be. Whether humans were working together to build shelter or coordinating an attack on a woolly mammoth or dancing together to appease the gods or singing to hold the grief of our parents' past. music helped us remember that we are each a part of something larger than ourselves. And well, we need that lesson more than ever these days. This is the challenge of our time, to recognize our interdependence, to recognize that we are in this together, to find each other in the darkness of an uncertain future. In the neighborhood where I live in Boston, a few years ago, a fossil fuel company was putting a new pipeline through our neighborhood. There was a series of protests as neighbors tried to stop the pipeline from being built. Over the course of about 6 months, 205 people were arrested protesting this new fossil fuel infrastructure. One protest on one day that I remember in particular was modeled based on this story on a headline we had read and an article we had read about Pakistan. The year before, in 2015, there had been a huge heat wave in Pakistan, part of climate chaos that caused thousands of deaths. And so in 2016, the many people in Pakistan were preparing for another overly hot summer. They were preparing for a hot future. They were preparing for heat waves that would again kill thousands. And the way they prepared was by digging mass graves. And so as some people were digging graves in Pakistan to prepare for climate change, in Boston, the fossil fuel companies were digging similar ditches in order to cause it. And so dozens of us, religious people of faith in particular, laid down in those ditches, mirroring the images coming out of Pakistan. And as we lay down, as we were rested, we sang together. We sang together as a reminder of our interdependence.
When the world is sick, can't no one be well? But I dreamt we were all beautiful and strong.
We sang as a reminder of what we were fighting for. We sang to give each other courage when we needed it the most.
Courage, my friend, you do not walk alone. We will walk with you and sing your spirit home.
And we sang to imagine the better world that we were working together to build. Dear ones, this is the story of how we became human. We created spiritual technologies and we taught them to each other in community. We taught each other to grieve when the weight of loss was too much to bear alone. We taught each other to sing when words failed us. We called out into the darkness of an uncertain life, and we responded to each other in harmony. We responded to each other in community. When we were weighed down by the burdens of this world, when we knew that one person couldn't do enough to make the world more just, couldn't do enough to make the world more peaceful, to put an end to war and ancient animosities, we came together to do together what we could not do alone, to lead and to follow in community, to collaborate and coordinate, to be a part of something larger than ourselves. We came together in community to imagine that a better world might be possible, and through our collective imagination, find a way forward. The creation story of humankind is that we created ourselves by listening and learning together. With shared singing and stories, with music and conversation, with imagination, we made us who we are. And so, beloveds, we each bear the song, and we each need the choir. May we find each other in song. May we call out to one another and respond in perfect harmony. And may we together, beloveds, sing the world awake. May it be so, and may we make it so. Our closing song comes to us from Emma's Revolution, a fabulous duo that sing for peace and for justice the world over. It goes like this. Let me see if I can get the drum in the picture here.
gonna keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Never turning back. Never turning back. Gonna keep on singing loudly. Keep on singing loudly. Keep on singing loudly.
Beloveds, we each bear the song and we each need the choir. May we call out when we're feeling lonely, may we call out when we're feeling lost in the dark, and may we respond to each other in community, in perfect harmony. We each bear the song and we each need the choir. May we together sing the world awake. Go in peace, go in love, and go and be blessed as you are each a blessing to others.